Welcome to Canadian Spies Are Boring, the daily show. Well, there's not enough Canadian spy story to guarantee an entire podcast, so there's just going to be 10 daily episodes on a show about politics instead. And if anybody ever wants to launch a podcast about Canadian spies, we've already covered it, so don't bother.
Yeah, so you're good. We've done it for you.
You're welcome. Nobody else has a podcast about Canadian espionage, and now they don't need to. So we've done it.
Do you like ASMR?
No. Yes, oh, he's going to do it again. It was only three days ago that you did last.
Oh.
Again? Drunk man with no fingers. Audio sex manipulation, Reese. He just dribbled. Yay, I got him to dribble.
I did dribble too.
He dribbled.
He did.
So, have you ever heard... Well, actually, I teased this before. I said, did you know the Cold War started in Canada?
I didn't. I did not.
So, have you ever heard of... Igor.
Just in case, I just want to say, like, this is day four?
Day four.
So, in case you're new, and this is confusing you, because our show is called Canadian Politics.
I'm just going straight into it all the time.
And so screw them if they're
If you've never listened to this, if this is your first time listening to our show, you're
going to be confused, but keep listening.
But, you know.
All right, keep going. Let's go.
That's life. We all stumble through life confused in a daze. Welcome to the club. Now, let's talk about spies. Have you ever heard of Igor Gazenko?
Who hasn't? No, I have no idea who that is. What a name, though. Jesus.
So.
Stazensko?
Gazenko. Yeah, Igor Gazenko. He was Russian.
Igor Gazenko.
He exposed the Soviet intelligence efforts to steal nuclear secrets, as well as the technique of planting sleeper agents in Western countries.
What's a sleeper agent?
An agent who doesn't do anything until they're kind of activated. They live a normal life, and then they get a message on the phone that might be like 3029 apples. And then they go, right, now we're going to blow some stuff up.
You've just activated some sleeper agents who are listening to our podcast.
If you're a sleeper agent, hang on, 5 banana, potato... beige. Yeah, just deactivated.
Oh, sweet. Thank you for that.
Yeah, like the Winter Soldier, but it wasn't programmed. Like, they knew they were sleeper agents.
Okay,
they weren't like a Manchurian candidate.
Thank God.
I know, thank God. What you might be a Manchurian candidate and you don't know. Anyway.
I mean, sure.
So, Gazenko was born on January the 26th, 1919 in a village near Moscow. It's about 100 kilometers northwest of Moscow, and he was the youngest of three children. And he studied at an architectural institute where he met his wife. And at the start of World War II, he joined the military and trained to be a cipher clerk. So essentially, he was helping decipher code and messages. And it gave him kind of a insider knowledge on Soviet espionage. And they were assigned to work in the Soviet embassy in Ottawa. And this was in the 1940s. So he moved to Ottawa to live in Canada with his family. Basically he was working for the Soviet government. However, in 1945, the Soviet Union, he learned that they were actually going to send him back to Russia. But he loved the quality of life and politics of Canada and didn't want to go back. So he decided to defect.
Oh, wow.
So he said, the unbelievable supplies of food, the restaurants, the movies, the wide open stores, the absolute freedom of the people. And this is, he wrote in his book called, the book was called This Was My Choice, combined to create the impression of a dream from which I must surely awaken.
What a nice thing to say.
But also the other thing was he was supposed to be posted there for a few more years. So he was worried that he'd made a mistake. And when he got back to Russia, he'd be put in prison.
Hold on, what? Made a mistake for...
Well, he was supposed to be stationed there for longer. And they cut his time there short.
Oh, and they thought that he did something wrong?
Yeah, when he got back, he would be locked up in prison.
For what, though?
Well, that's the thing he didn't know. The way that they worked was they would purge people. Like, Stalin was in power. Oh. And he would purge people, whether you'd done anything wrong or not. He didn't care. He would purge because he was paranoid and he thought people were working against him.
Oh.
So he might have ended up on a list of people he didn't trust anymore.
But this
so
guy
they would have gone, oh, we need to go back to Russia. Okay,
but this guy did end up working against Stalin.
But he did because he was afraid he would end up in a kind of a
so hold on.
A Russian work camp.
So let me get this straight. So because he was afraid of being purged by Stalin, who was purging people because he was afraid.
You do
realize
that purging often meant death.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So
people
that's not,
died in gulags so Stalin, in Siberia.
Stalin would purge people because he was afraid. He was paranoid that they were working against him.
Yeah.
And what's this guy's name again?
Igor Gazenko.
Igor. So, and Igor was called back home and he was afraid he was going to be purged. So due to that fear, he stayed and ended up working against Stalin.
Yeah. But also, because.
Do you see the irony here?
I do. But also he loved the freedom, the lifestyle living on. He was seduced by Ottawa.
So. Those are words that have never been spoken before, nor will be ever be spoken again. Seduced by Ottawa. Oh my God.
The new Cold War romance novel.
Seduced by Ottawa.
Yeah. But seriously, though, he was living in an authoritarian state.
I'm sorry, I can't get that out of my mind. How are you just seduced my own?
So bear in mind, before the communist revolution in Russia, they had almost like a feudal system with peasants working like land. Yeah. And now suddenly they had an authoritarian state that would purge people and send them to gulags in Siberia. So by comparison, Ottawa was heaven. So
Sure. I mean, it's not a fair comparison. That's true. Yeah. I mean,
so also his wife was pregnant with his second child. So he decided to defect and he walked out of the embassy door carrying a briefcase with Soviet codebooks and deciphering materials. He went to the RCMP, but the officers on duty refused to believe him. So then he went to the Ottawa Journal newspaper, but the newspaper's night editor wasn't interested in his story.
Oh my God.
What? And suggested he go to the Department of Justice, but nobody was on duty when he arrived.
This is amazing.
So he was like, hey, I've got all these top secret secrets.
I feel like this would make
Bugger off.
Like this would make kind of like a funny sitcom.
This should be a heritage minute. The time that this guy turned up with all this top secret information that was really useful and got turned away three times.
And it would be called Seduced by Ottawa.
Seduced by Ottawa.
That should be the
Seduced.
Name.
Seduced. And then the second book is called Rejected by Ottawa. Right.
But can that be the name of this episode? Seduced by Ottawa.
That's a t-shirt. That's another t-shirt. We got two. What was the other t-shirt we had? We got Seduced by Ottawa and I don't know. I'll remember when I go back and edit. So terrified that the Soviets would discover what he'd done, he went back to his apartment and hid in the apartment across the hall for the night. Because he was like, well, I stole these paperworks. I've been around the place.
Who did he steal from again?
He stole all the top secret code books and stuff from his own department to give to Canadian officials.
And the department wasn't in Canada, was it?
No, he was stationed in the Russian embassy in Ottawa. And he was basically playing his part in helping operate a secret network of spies in Canada.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But the RCMP weren't interested. They didn't believe him. So
that's amazing. And not at all surprising.
So he hid across the hall with his family, and he was right, because that night a group of Soviet agents broke into his apartment and searched through his belongings.
So hold on, where was he hiding?
He was across the hall.
Just in his neighbors?
In his neighbor. He asked his neighbors if they could stay over because he was worried, and they ransacked his home.
This is amazing. Like
with his pregnant wife and child.
This would make an incredible like little miniseries.
There probably has been one, you just didn't see it.
I mean, I doubt it.
But then the Ottawa police turned up and scared the Russian agents away because someone was like, hey, they're ransacking this apartment. So the next day, Gazenko finally convinced the RCMP to examine the documents. And he was transported to Camp X. Just take him to Camp X out of Ottawa. So get him out of Ottawa, get him to where's the safest place in Canada from spies? A camp full of spies who were on the other side of the Cold War.
Right.
And
learning to kill silently.
He was interviewed by the MI5 and also the FBI and by the FBI because the CIA wasn't really fully founded at that point. And Mackenzie King, who didn't really know what was going on in Camp X.
Can we please do another episode or even a series of episodes strictly on Mackenzie King? I feel like we've
glossed
over. Can we
call it Mackenzie King? I knew him well.
Sure. Yeah. I just feel like we really glossed over one of the craziest prime ministers we've
ever
deeper. Had.
We will dig deeper.
Yeah, let's do that for the future. Yeah. Hold up. It's time for a mid-roll announcement. That's right. You get to be the lucky, lucky so-and-so of an ad.
And do you know the best part? You get to listen to this ad for free.
We won't even charge you.
Free ads all the time. So, Mackenzie King, this guy turned up with all this top secret Russian stuff. Mackenzie King's instinct was, I want nothing to do with you.
What? So
he
because you're alive. So, I only speak with the deceased.
So at the time he was 70.
And Mackenzie King?
And he'd been involved.
Or Igor.
No, Mackenzie King was 70.
Okay.
They just fought World War II. He was exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
this is after World War II.
This is just at the end of World War II.
Okay. Oh.
So this
I thought this was in the middle of World War II.
This is 1945 rolling into 1946. So Mackenzie King was tired, he was old, and also they just fought with Russia to beat Nazi Germany. So he was like, I don't want any of this shit. This is just going to go and take those paperwork back. I don't care. I don't want to know anything about it. But and he just didn't want to upset the Soviet Union. He wanted to stay friends with them and thought this was just going to cause more problems than it was worth, even though he was saying, hey, we're spying on you.
He told them?
Well, that's all the...
Oh, Igor told them.
Canadians. He was essentially going,
I thought you were saying Mackenzie King was telling the Soviet Union, no, hey, we're spying on you.
I'm from the Soviet Union, and we're spying on you, and here's all the information about how we're spying on you. Mackenzie King was like, I don't want to know, la, 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 la. He didn't say anything. I didn't hear that. Did you hear that? I didn't hear that.
Sticking his fingers in his ears and running away.
Yeah, blissful ignorance. Yeah. I'm old. I don't give a shit. But I still want to be prime minister. So,
I mean, that's a good t-shirt too.
So Mackenzie King met with Harry Truman, the American president, Clement Attlee, the British prime minister, and lots of intelligence officials from different countries. And they realized that the Soviet espionage was already well established in their countries. And even though they were wartime allies, Russia was already way ahead in terms of their what they built in the countries.
Wow.
So the public didn't become aware of the whole incident until February the 3rd, 1946, when it was broke on a radio show. And the news spread that a network of Canadian spies under the control of the Soviet Union had been passing classified information to the Soviet government.
Hold on, what? Say that again?
So news broke that basically the Soviet Union had been passing classified information to the Soviet government using a network of spies throughout Canada.
So, okay, I'm trying to piece this together. The Soviet Union was passing information.
Well, the Soviet Union had a network of spies in Canada that was giving them information about what Canada was up to.
Oh,
and
oh,
the thing was, Canada was involved in the early research of the Manhattan Project, which was the development of a nuclear bomb. And there was a lot of vital information that was being spread. So they were worried. Remember we did the episode about Jason Kenney hates Bigfoot and they were planning to nuke the oil fields?
Yes.
And they didn't because they decided not to make... Well, this is why Canada was less involved in the development of nuclear weapons, because they were aware that they had a big spy network operating that essentially could have stolen all of their nuclear secrets.
Oh, wow. Oh!
So because of this, 39 people were arrested.
What?
Spies. Essentially, he revealed 39 spies throughout Canada. Soviet spies in Canada.
Oh, my God.
And a woman called Agatha Chapman, whose apartment was an evening rendezvous for spies, and 18 were convicted of offences, including Fred Rose, who was the only communist member of parliament in the Canadian House of Commons, and Sam Carr, the Communist Party's national organiser, and also a scientist called Raymond Boyer. So... it kind of transformed the Canadian Security Service. They suddenly realized they had to be paying attention to what was going on in the country a lot more. So
that never really happened, though, did it?
Yeah. So what happened was, this essentially was the beginning of Cold War. Now everyone was spying on each other. They were like, oh my God, they're spying on us. We need to spy on them. So this whole era of suspicion and watching each other and keeping secrets from each other was born in Canada from that moment.
Wow.
And then Gazenko and his family, Gazenko remained in Canada for the rest of his life, settling in Mississauga.
And where?
Mississauga.
Mississauga?
Mississauga. Yeah, that one. Mississauga. It's like a Canada's Mississippi. Anyway, based on his experiences, he wrote two books, and he was watched by the RCMP for the rest of his life and had to live under assumed identities.
Oh, no.
Because he was terrified to be killed. He
used by
to,
his own, by
the Soviet Union.
By the Soviet Union,
yeah,
right.
By the KGB.
But Canada...
Canada, luckily, the RCMP at one point rejected him and didn't believe he was a spy, protected him for the rest of his life.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Which is a nice kind
that's
of turnaround.
Nice. Yeah.
And it's nice. And he'd make public appearances because he was an author and quite an iconic person in history, but he would always wear a hood to hide his identity. Because he was so afraid. So if you search him, you're actually...
Living the rest of your life in fear kind of sucks.
Yeah, from one of the world's most... Well, probably the world's most effective intelligence agency at the time. Ruthlessly effective intelligence agency. To live under fear from them.
Yeah, that's awful.
So if you Google his name, you just get a picture of a man with a hood.
Honestly, I would have left Canada and gone to, like, someplace tropical and just taught surfing on a beach for the rest of my life. And... Just like, honest to God, like, you
well,
know.
Why not? Why
right.
Not? But, you know, he loved Canada. He left because he loved Canada.
Yeah.
That's why he flipped. So eventually the KGB didn't get him and he died of a heart attack in 1982. So he lived a long, happy life despite that kind
despite the heart attack.
Well, I mean, he was old.
Sure. But, right, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. But he had a, he wasn't killed by the KGB. They didn't get him. That's more important.
True. All right. What a story. That's amazing.
So, yeah.
Incredible.
Thanks, Canada.
That's literally how it started. The Cold War started because of Igor.
Well, to that point, the Soviet Union was an ally because the Nazis had just been defeated that year.
Oh, right.
The World War II ended in 1945.
So the Cold War might not have happened if Igor hadn't pointed out the fact that there's so many spies in Canada.
It probably would have happened eventually. That was just the first major...
Actually, hold on. So the Cold War was mainly between the States and the Soviet Union, yes?
No, it was kind of the NATO or the kind of the I suppose you call them capitalist countries.
I honestly don't know much about the Cold War,
France,
to tell you the truth.
France, Britain, America, Canada, countries that were, you would call, like, democracies.
But this all started because one man pointed out the fact that, hey, you've got spies in your country.
Yeah, we're spying on you, and here's all the information. I don't want to leave.
And then
other
countries are like, oh, shit, is this happening to us, too? Like,
yeah, everyone realized that the Russians had been spying on them for... while Russia was fighting the Nazis with them, Russia had started to spy on them at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Because they were just, good.
Why not,
they were just
right?
good at that.
Yeah, right.
And they can play chess. They're really good at it. I saw the Queen's Gambit.
Saturday, it was great.
It was a good show. Yeah, I recommend it. Call to action. Go and watch the Queen's Gambit.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Season 2's coming soon.
There is not.
They are making a season 2.
They can't.
Why? She didn't win all chess. There will be other chess matches.
Isn't this based on a true story?
No, I think it's
is it completely fictional?
It's based on a book, I think. Yeah.
I thought it was based on a true story.
No, I was in chess club when I was a kid.
I will 100% watch the sequel to that.
And I went to a tournament and I lost every game, but maybe I should have been taking drugs like she did.
So. Yeah, lots of drugs, Rick. That's what's going to help you.
So if you want your kids to be good at chess, give them drugs.
There's your call to action.
There you go.
Yeah. Watch Queen's Gambit.
She was also brilliant at chess.
Right, yeah. So I think that's a good call to action is watch Queen's Gambit and give your drugs to kids. Give your kids drugs. Give any of the drugs that you have to your children.
Give your drugs to kids.
That's a horror. Yeah, don't listen to me. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so call to action for tomorrow is, eat a cheeseburger.
No, it was going to be watch Queen's Gambit.
Watch Queen's Gambit.
That was good. And eat a cheeseburger.
And don't
give your kids drugs.
Don't give your kids drugs.
No, but eat a cheeseburger and watch Queen's Gambit.
Yeah.
I might go home and watch Queen's Gambit with a cheeseburger again because that's...
And take drugs.
It's just a really good... No, it's just a good show.
Yeah. Don't take drugs. You might think it's cool, but it's not.
I mean, depends on the drug, really. You didn't... I didn't say that.
Well, like, what's the word? Tylenol. That's a cool drug.
Yep.
So, if you want to be cool?
I know that
pop
when someone gives me a Tylenol.
Pop a Tylenol under your tongue. Go for a walk. Wait and see what happens.
Well, that's one more company that's not going to sponsor us. Thank you very much, Reese.
That's what will happen. Nothing. Mildly effective pain relief. That's all. So, anyway, see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Oh my God.